I looked at that and it pissed me off initially. I looked at it, I was like, this is bullshit. Like, I hate, but I couldn't handle the sport that's given me so much, but then like I just felt like it's like I'm letting it down or it's letting me down. I can't tell where I am. I realized that I was on my own. No one went with the pace and I felt like a deer in headlights. And I was like, why didn't I just like go for it? Why don't I just like just go out and just go as hard as I can? And I just completely froze. I didn't know what to do, and I'd never been in that position in a Diamond League before where I'm on my own out front running a slower pace than prescribed. You know, I put myself in such this spiral of like, just think that you're not going to make the team, check your thing, and then just let it, you have to let whatever happens, you're going to let it go. And then the next night, didn't sleep, got the email.
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Okay, like and subscribe.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus, it's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 202. We hope that you guys enjoyed our very, very special episode from last week. This week, we're slowing things down a little. It's just Ollie and I in the studio, mano y mano, getting deep and personal, catching up on everything that's been going on with us. So on that note, Ollie, how are we feeling? We have a special guest in the room that should also be acknowledged.
Yeah, shout out to Crispy Hoare. He's come to visit me for 2 months.
Member of Coffee Club Track Club.
Member of Coffee Club Track Club. Hasn't run a step since then. He has had a pretty fun experience traveling around Canada with his job. Met some crazy characters, has some great stories, but he's going to be in Boulder for these next few months, which are a nice kind of time for us. I mean, I'm back in full training right now, but it's a good time for kind of being normal, which is a bit of an, it's not necessarily saying as an insult, but we're going to go to, you know, do things that we don't usually do. Usually we're pretty locked in, living the lifestyle of a professional athlete, whereas this next 2 months we can kind of train pretty hard, but also have some luxuries with going to concerts, traveling around, and doing stuff like that. I just want a quick shout out to a guy called Mike. Shout out to Mike. I was at my girlfriend's car broke down when we went camping. Not ideal, but we had to go pick it up from Leadville. We drove back to this Outer Range Brewing just to have a beer and kind of sit with her family. Jim, shout out to Jim, Meg's dad, was wearing an OAC on top when we were lining up for a beer. And we lined up, and then I went down to get a beer, and Mike goes to me, goes, "You're Ollie Hoare." And I said, "How do you know that?" And he said, "Mate, you're not paying for drinks here. You guys aren't paying for drinks here." So he shouted, Meg, Jim, Lisa, and I, free drinks.
What was that?
From Outer Range. So shout out to Mike. Outer Range. Shout out to Mike, absolute legend, fan of the podcast, runner. He has a group chat. I can't remember the name of it, but the girls in the group chat are obsessed with George. They were going absolutely bananas on George World Championship win. But shout out to the group chat. Shout out to Mike. Amazing. Hopefully I'll see you again at some point. But that was a pretty cool experience. Anyway, yeah, I'm back at full training. Got my brother here. We're going to have some fun times catching up with friends and whatnot. I got some stuff planned later on, which I'm really excited about too. But last time we spoke more, because I think was leading into Poland and Fungstad.
Yeah, it's been a minute. So yeah, just to give some context, it's kind of like the come down after the season. World Champs has been over for over a week, etc. Absolutely amazing World Championships. We know
not
that,
surprising. Yeah, not surprising from Tokyo.
Amazing, yeah. Just across the board. And now it's that time of year, as Ollie has been alluding to, that it's a reset, a time to not make necessarily running like the number one priority in your life. I mean, obviously for us, we do it every single day, so it's kind of like the still top priority in some ways, but it can take a bit of a backseat to maybe taking care of the other things that you got going on in your life, or just to, you know, you need to, like, we peak physically in this sport, we also peak mentally, and there's a time of year where we're extremely locked in to be able to do that and to be able to perform at our best. And it's not sustainable to do that all year round. So this is kind of like that time of year where you give yourself a bit more breathing room and just, yeah, as we call it, a more of a normal life, I guess. I mean, it's still not exactly a normal life. We're very privileged with the life that we get to live. But yeah, that is this time of year. But it's also a time for a bit of like reflection. And yeah, we were just talking before, it's been kind of crazy. Like Ollie hasn't like talked about himself on the pod for over a month now. So we're going to, and there's quite a few kind of like gaps to be filled in. So, and we know that a lot of you at home listening probably have been like wondering like what's going on with the boys, you know, behind the scenes. So I guess today is going to be a bit more of an informal episode, kind of like just filling in a few of those gaps.
Filling in the gappies, yeah.
So yeah, before your trip to Europe, which involved racing in firstly Silesia,
and then Funchstad. The plan was Funchstad as a race. Dathan kind of alluded to the fact that I needed to race more to get selected for pretty much the national team. At that point in time, I had run 3:31.1, and I was top three at nationals, which was the second fastest time next to Cam Myers, who's run 3:29, and I was top three at nationals. So I was in a position where I felt confident. I think with the fall in London and how that kind of race unfortunately went, luck didn't go our way for that. So we needed another effort to kind of try and solidify our position in the team. So Funchstad was on the list. I was not in Silesia until later on. I got into the meet, and my preparation for that meet was going to be a quick race. It's a fast track, as I came to know when I did my pre-meet there. It's a really cool Diamond League. It was very fun.
Wait, Yared was racing there, right?
Yared was racing
there.
So
at least you had like a teammate
to go
with.
It was
along
great to go with Yared. He had been doing a lot of the Grand Slam stuff. So having him there for that, I know he was there for pre, but having him there for another Diamond League was really fun. And Sage was there pacing for Faith in the 3K. So we had a little squad going there, and things felt pretty good. Mentally, I felt solid. I just didn't have the right race. So I was hoping that Silesia would be the one. And when I went into the race, I'm thinking like, they've got the pacing out at 3:27. So it's going to be quick. People are going to go for it. And that was kind of the direction that I got from Dathan. I did know that Yared wasn't going to go.
You knew that?
Yeah. Well, really? I guess I didn't know to what extent.
Yeah.
All I knew was that he wasn't going to take the lead. Right, but we had a lot of people in that race who
like
have taken
about
the lead
that before.
It was alluded to. Obviously, Dathan is Yard's coach as well, and he wants the best for Yard, and he wants the best for me. But obviously, the way that he's going to prepare us as athletes is focusing on those strengths. And for me, he knew that there was a sub 3:30 race in me. He just wanted to kind of emphasize that. And then for Yared, he wanted Yared to not lead and try and win the race. So,
and this was coming off for Yared, like USA's.
USA's,
right? So
yeah.
He was like, I guess, trying to take a bit of a different approach.
Different approach. And that's something that I know Yared was looking forward to doing. But a lot of people in that race had run really fast. So that my thought process was, the pace is there, we're going to get on it. And then Yared's probably going to be in the middle of the pack and then move forward. And it'll be a quick race and I can get a good race out of it. Because like running a 3:32 or 3:31 for me was like a mid-case scenario. Not the best case scenario, but like in the middle. It's still a good result because I've run under the standard and I've competed with those fellas. And then I went out there. I got behind the pacer. I actually got a really good start. And then I noticed the pacer started to slow down. And I realized that I was on my own. No one went with the pace. And I felt like a deer in headlights, which I know at that point, looking back, and I was like, why didn't I just like go for it? Why didn't I just like just go it and just go as hard as I can? And I just completely froze. I didn't know what to do. And I'd never been in that position in a Diamond League before where I'm on my own out front running a slower pace than prescribed. The pace has kind of slowed down and dropped out, and we didn't run close to what we were supposed to. And I was kind of lost, and I just thought, well, I'll just keep going. And I think with a lap to go, I thought, well, I'm probably going to get caught. But if I keep it aggressive, I might be able to like hold on. And then I got swamped with 200 to go by a yard and the rest of the field. And I was able to like stay with it and hold my own, but I kind of just didn't react as well as they did. I think it was just harder for me. And then I finished that race and I was very disappointed. And then going into Funchstadt, Dathan put a lot of emphasis in that race. It was kind of like a do or die race and it put a lot of pressure on me. And I...
What was the... Just back to Silesia.
Yeah.
Is it Silesia or Silesia?
Silesia, I think.
Silesia.
Sorry if we're mispronouncing
excuse
that.
My Polish.
Yeah, excuse our Polish.
That's I guess probably... It's neither. I guess you probably say it very differently in Polish. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's got to be such a weird feeling because I imagine your main goal going into that race was, all right, so solidify my position as top three Australian in the world in the 1500. Actually, that doesn't really make sense to say top three Australian in the world, but top three, I guess it does make sense. Top three Australian. So I get selected for the Tokyo 1500. And the way to do that in a race like that is to just go and run a fast time, essentially. Like, that's how you can prove your form and show how good you are. So it's like when you line up to the start line of a Diamond League, you know, like most of the time, like especially with how a lot of the Diamond Leagues have gone like this year and just in general is, you know, like it's going to be, the start is going to be competitive and a lot of people are trying, like most people there are trying to do a similar thing, run fast and compete in that way. So yeah, imagine for you, like in this start as well, you're really focused on like getting out strong and like, cause that's one of the clearest ways to do it is you get out strong, you get a good position and then hopefully you can sit in and relax and you have people around you to push you along. So I imagine a lot of your energy was going towards the start of that race and like setting the right tone and you went and you did that, like you executed on that, but then it was a really weird occurrence that like no one else was interested in running a similar pace. And as you kind of already mentioned, a pace that like a lot of them have run multiple times this year. And then by the time, I mean, you're sitting behind the pacemakers, like, and by the time you realize that they're not with you, it's like, it's almost too late, I guess. Cause it's like, you're not going to slow down. Like, and you're not going to like consciously slow down and be like, I got to run with the pack. You're just going to do what you can to like hold on and finish as strong as you can. But we all know that like if you're trying to run really fast, being like with a pack of people and like in the thick of the competition is like the best way to push you and get the most out of yourself and really take it to that next level. So I remember watching that race and it was just like, wow, I did not expect that race to play out like that at all.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how it felt.
That's how it felt. And I walked away from it. And the funny thing is like some of the agents and some of the competitors were just like complaining about the race. And I was like, why are you complaining?
Yeah. Like you could have gone with me.
I just don't understand the complaints here. Like we've had all year to do these sort of races and then you complain about it. It's like you chose that decision. You should be happy with that situation because that's what you chose. Yeah. Like I chose something differently and it didn't work out for me. And that's okay. But you guys complaining about that race is like, well, you could have done something. But but Yared, that's what Yared wanted to do. And he was happy with how that race went for him.
Yeah, he was competing for the win.
He even said to me, he's like, I don't care if you go and win that race. My goal was to try and execute a different racing tactic for myself because he's known as doing a certain type of race. So he had his own situation going. And so then from that, I was like, okay, well, you know, that probably didn't really hinder or anything to my selection, I don't think. So moving into Funchstadt, it's all about running quick. And
that was just 5 days later or
that
something?
That was 5 days later. And like, honestly, everything felt good. I just felt mentally I felt very stressed. And I think...
It's a lot of pressure.
I think it's a lot
yourself.
Of pressure. I felt that a lot of that pressure. And then going into the race, like immediately it felt like Raleigh for me, it was just, I felt shocking. I went out, I ran, I was on pace until about 500 to go. And then I just got swamped and it was a shocking last lap.
That was like a really competitive, even though it wasn't like a Diamond League, it was a super competitive.
Super competitive.
Everyone knows that. I mean, it was one of the last like good races, I think, within the qualifying window.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that track has a reputation like you can go and run really fast there. Mm-hmm. So, and in Europe, there's so many good 1500 meter runners and runners in general. And so they're not all getting into Diamond Leagues. So actually the field was very solid, all with, again, like a similar goal in mind to run quick.
Yeah. So, and that race obviously was a shocking one. So then that kind of made everything a lot worse for selection, because even though if I've run the second fastest time in the year and I've been top three at nationals, they look at recent performances, they look at head to head. And because of the trip up in London, Jude and Adam had beat me in that race, and that put my chances of selection kind of low. And it was a very difficult time for me. Last year for Paris, I felt that my body was not ready for that Olympics, but my mental space really was. I pulled off certain races that I didn't think was possible for me personally, like running 3:31 or even the Diamond League that I won in London. Those type of races I didn't think possible for me that year, physically. For the physical part of it. The mental part of it, I was pretty locked in. And then obviously my physical fitness showed at the Olympics, I was just not good enough. And I thought this year I'd build it up. And then this year I did build it up, and I got to this fitness that I was doing workouts with all the fellas. I was crushing it. I was feeling great and relaxed. And the mental component of it, I just felt like was lost. And that's a hard thing to come to terms with.
The reality of our sport is, so, and you, like, if you follow like individual athletes, you see this all the time, is like, it's so much about momentum, you know, like we're runners, and when we go out and race, like it's really all about performance. Like you're trying to go and do something that's really hard, that, you know, you've been preparing for a long time. But then you're going out there to do something that maybe you've never done before, or something you have done before, but it's really hard to go do. And I mean, that's what performance is. And to perform, like, you know, there's so many factors that go into it. And yeah, momentum is a really big thing. And so it's like, you know, there are times, like, I know you've had these times in your career where, yeah, it feels like almost easy, you know? I mean, any runner that's like succeeding a lot, like that's like the easy part, you know? But it's when you have like challenges or like setbacks, like that's like the hard part where you have to like really figure it out. And when the momentum like isn't going in the right direction, whether that's because of like bad luck, or yeah, like you've been having different like mental struggles or like whatever it is, to turn it around within a short period of time is extremely, extremely hard. And, you know, I saw you trying to do that, but I know how hard it is to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you do.
I know how hard it is for anyone to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're under the bright lights when you go out there and race. Like there's no way you can hide. And just like, it's just all these factors coming together. And man, it's so difficult. Like when I saw like you finishing that race in function, I was like, man, like I just want you to be able to just like take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And just relax, because it's like, I know how hard you're working, and I know how hard you're pushing yourself, and I know how hard it is to not get the results after all of that. And it's like, sometimes it's like, you just need to take that little step back and just like hit that reset, you know?
That's been really tough for me, because it's just a new part of the experience of being a professional athlete. Like I had my first couple of years leading up before my injury, like were all, I would say, necessarily smooth sailing. Like I had,
if you really talk about momentum, like your momentum was crazy.
Momentum was really good. You know, I had really good positive things going through. And then when I had the injury, and this injury has been such a long setback, and like talking to certain people too, I've noticed that like it's not, some people can get back up, like if a serious injury like this could take a long time. Like, I mean, Joe and Mario have had this similar injury, and it's been very, very difficult for them. And looking at somebody that I think is a really good example of what to do right is probably Jake Wightman.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say him, man. I don't know if you watched his interview after the...
I did.
It was amazing.
I try to stay away from track except for my teammates. I obviously watch my teammates race, but I couldn't handle the sport that has given me so much, but then like I just felt like it's like I'm letting it down or it's letting me down. I can't tell where I am. But I you know, I've been struggling with that sort of stuff, and I know you have as well, Morgs. And that's when I thought, well, look, I think there's so much more to come for this season. Like if I do get selected, then I do think I'm going to run really well at Worlds. I just think that things haven't clicked yet, but they're going to click and I know they will. I just can't put pressure on it. And then the selection for us kind of sucked because...
Yeah, they took a while with that.
It was a while. It was literally on the day that everything closed, they were going to call everyone from 4 to 5 p.m. Australian time, which is 1 a.m. in Colorado. So obviously that I didn't sleep. And I kept checking my phone because I was going to get an email. I wasn't going to get a phone call because of the situation. And then they sent me an email and said, oh, we haven't made our decision yet. You have to wait another day.
Jeez.
So that sucked. And then, you know, I put myself in such this spiral of like, just think that you're not going to make the team, check your thing, and then just let it, you have to let, whatever happens, you're going to let it go. And then the next night, didn't sleep, got the email, didn't get selected, and saw the reasoning. And the reasoning was about 17 paragraphs, 18 paragraphs. And like, really? I looked at that and it pissed me off initially. I looked at it, I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Like, I hate that this massive reason. But then I looked at it in another positive light. I was like, look, this is how hard it is to be a selector, because they've written down all this long, long, long thing to justify why you haven't been selected. But then three other boys who are extremely talented runners,
yeah,
who have done very well this year, get to represent their country. And
they're young, you know,
and
like
young.
They have so much potential.
And I think that was something that I had to learn, because in the situation for that is I looked at that message initially and was pissed off by how long the response was, that it felt like they were just trying to pull out all these things. But they actually, really, the reason why the response was so long is because it's so difficult to make these decisions, and they have to look at every single small decision that's been made through the year from four athletes that have done a really, really good job. And
it's really hard.
It's very difficult.
No one,
and it took me time.
Yeah,
and it took me time. And I appreciate now how long that message was. Obviously, initially I read it and I was like, "Holy shit! Like this is, you know, insane." And then I appreciated how long that message was, because it is very, very hard to do. And they've selected who they believe is going to be the best team for Australia moving forward, and that is the only thing that I want as an athlete. And I was not making the cut. You know, and they mentioned that I, you know, ran the second fastest time, and I ran as top three nationals, and you know, they valued that, and they, you know, they said you can put in an appeal, whatever like that, which was fine. So then after that, I needed some time away from Dathan and from the team and from running. I just needed a bit of a break, fresh restart, reset. Obviously, I was watching Worlds, and then Jake Whiteman almost won the 1500. He was second by like tiny margin. And then I saw his interview, and then I kind of clicked with me how this sport has very, very short-term memory, because the amount of hype that people get, just depending on how crazy their seasons are, to how the slump like can happen and then you're just kind of out of it, to me is one of the problems of the sport, but also one of the things that can help athletes get through it. Because like Whiteman was a world champion. Injuries happen. He kind of fell out, and then people really didn't mention him much until he started to obviously come back. And watching his progression back, it did not take a year. It took a lot longer than that. And it took a long time. It took a coaching change. It took all these different things.
A lot of really hard things.
Yeah, really hard decisions.
Surgery.
And he is a very, very determined athlete, a very, very talented athlete. And he also sometimes you don't know if you're making the right decision or not, but he made all these changes and he's done all this stuff, and it's been a slow progress, but he's now, how he's come back to it makes me feel like, well, the matter is time. Like time is going to help with being better if you can keep going and keep doing the things that you're going
to
be good at.
Keep trying to move in the right direction.
Exactly. So then that's for me like what I'm taking out of what Jake's kind of interview and how his season and career has progressed, is that like for people that have been struggling with stuff, you know, it takes time. and it takes longer than a season. People think one season then you're back. It takes a lot of time. So for me, I take that in a very, very positive way. And, you know, I come off the season feeling really strong and fit. I'm coming back to training already feeling like I haven't lost much. And that's a big positive. And I think looking at how I can improve, how I view what I do is that every opportunity I do, I have to make sure I'm rationalizing it in the appropriate way. And I'm looking at it in the sense of like having like set goals and a set piece from my own kind of mindset, my own proof. I'm a senior, an old enough now athlete, and I know.
Senior.
I'm a senior.
Senior citizen.
Senior citizen. Like knowing from you and from others, I think there's only so much, and this is a Rick Byrne quote, but I can't want this more than you, which is a quote that Mick would say to some badgers about like, you have to want this journey more than I do. I'm just the coach, right? So yeah. I have to take more responsibility in what races I am focusing on, what goals are those for the races, my training. I have to take more accountability. I have to take more.
It's a holistic thing. Like when Mick says it,
I got to take more accountability of what I do, what I eat, when I sleep. Like I got to take accountability for those things. But I also got to understand that like I am not a robot. I have needs. I have a personality. I have things that I want to do. I want to go and drink beers with my brother. I want to be able to go hiking, camping with my girlfriend. I want to be able to do things in this set period of time and train, because then when I get into the season, I get into lock in, then I felt like I've had that reset. I've had that time. I can now fully prepare and fully put myself in the position of doing the best possible and putting myself in the best possible way, because I'd just burn out. There's no way I'd survive. And
yeah,
that's important to me, but also taking accountability of the races I'm going to do, how I'm going to approach those races, how my training is going to be. I need to take more ownership of that stuff and take it away from just kind of walking into practice, which is what I would do. I'd walk into practice, talk to Dathan about the workout. He'd have the workout set up. He'd want to do this, this, and this. And I'd be like, yep. And I just follow along. And I think for me, I need to take more ownership of what I do. And I know that would be well received from Ritz as well. So that's kind of how I view it. Yes, it was difficult. Situation. My parents booked a non-refundable flight to Tokyo after my Rome race. I felt pretty confident with that, but you can never feel confident, particularly if you don't have not already been selected. And they had a great time in Tokyo. Obviously missed me and I missed them, but they had a good time. And then from there on, I've just been settling in, living with my girlfriend's brother, Jackson. He lives in the basement. He and I have been vibing.
Nice.
And having a good time. And it's been good being around him, who's kind of outside the running world, but also is a fan of the podcast and fan of running. And
a fan of Ollie.
A fan of me. A fan of Morgan as well. And George, sorry. Forgetting about George here. We should never. It's been a nice reset, but it's been something that, again, I think I've mentioned this in the podcast before, but you still learn when you're older. But can you actually adapt or do what you've been learning about? And I know, for me, running has like egos, it has stubbornness, it has selfishness. But like the one thing that is great about running is people are so aware and wanting to be better and wanting to and also happy with success for other people that have made those. I really believe that like when people see how well certain people have done. It's a very endearing thing. So
well,
it's
inspiring, you know.
Yeah,
like when you were talking before about Jake Whiteman, I had a very. I mean, I'm you know, I can relate to a lot of what you say. Like during the time period of Worlds, it was hard for me to be sitting at home, and like I enjoyed watching it, but if I'm too like, if it can be get too much for me sometimes, and so like for me personally, like I've been off Instagram since the start of Worlds, because once it started, like I didn't realize it was going to be like this going into it, but I was like, I need to protect myself
insane.
A little bit. Cause it's just like, it's just a lot.
You'd wake up and you would, if you woke up and then you would, you know, do everything and then you opened up a social media app, it'd be about 700 posts from Tokyo. And the thing is,
which is completely understandable.
That's media. That's as how it should things be. But like even my girlfriend, who does not follow, like is not into running at all. Like she'd get on Instagram and just be full of her page is full of running. She's like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What's the world championships? Like this is a."
And so, if you feel like you wish that you were there, or like you had goals of going there and achieving certain things, and then you're not there. Like, yeah, that can be hard to be constantly reminded of it so many times. So sometimes you just have to do stuff like that to protect the mental health. I muted the group chats.
I muted certain stuff just because, like, I wanted to protect myself a little bit and have just obviously not mute the things that matter, which was Robert, Josette, Sage, and Kai. And George, those people mattered and those races mattered, but everything else I kind of muted, and then I kind of like was able to process it later and be happy for certain people and be sad for some others. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had similar, like really inspired by watching a lot of people like Whiteman, and not just his result, but like just watching the way he raced it. It's just like, wow, that's amazing to see in the 5K and the 10K, like both of those, like a lot of the performances were super, super inspiring to me as well. And I think, as you mentioned before, like that's what one of the things that is so beautiful about running is like, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, we're all trying to just like
be better than everyone else.
Well, I was going to say we're all trying to be the best that we can be.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess for us at this point in the sport, yeah, ultimately,
beating people.
Yeah. But see, the way that I like to personally think about it in terms of like the world of like trying to be the best that you can be is like the only way that you can really see how great that you can be is with competition.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you imagine a world where like there was only single time trials, you know what I mean? Like where it was only you went and you ran against yourself and then you compared times to people. Like I think you can imagine that like all the times would be way slower. It's only when you put us together and we're racing directly against each other that we're able to push ourselves more than we imagined was capable. So that's one way that I like to really look at competition and kind of the beauty of competition. And so I like personally like to bring it back to like you're trying to be the best version of yourself and you're trying to see how great you can be. And that's how I like to look at it. Because then it's like, you know, like, and you understand everyone is on the same journey and, you know, you're happy for people when they're succeeding and they're getting it right. And when people are struggling, you can be really understanding that, you know, you've been there before and you can understand that it's really hard to, and that there's certain reasons why maybe like things aren't clicking for them. But yeah, at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. We're trying to, it's funny because like then you can even take another step back and be like it's just running. Yeah, you can also have that perspective and just be like it's just running, like you should not. Once it starts impacting you in a negative way, that's the time to hit pause and reflect and take perspective. And that's true, I think, for like so many different ways we're running. Like if it's ever becoming something negative, and obviously we've given our whole lives to it. So yeah, we're so vulnerable to it.
That's where my partner's been good for that, because she works as a speech therapist. And I complain about not running certain times, not representing my country or being in certain races. She'll come home and say that she saw a 40-year-old woman who had an accident and can't eat and can't speak, probably will never be able to again. And she's trying to teach her to be able to swallow. You know, like you put things into perspective and you're like,
real quick,
why the fuck am I complaining? I need to like process this appropriately. And, that to me has been helpful, is taking a step back and realizing that there's a big world out there and running is a big part of ours. But,
and that's why you have, you know, a support team that extends beyond just like your immediate coach and team, you know?
Yeah. And they do see the other side sometimes, but like it is, again, like this is our world and they're still doing it. So if they're still doing it, they need to be completely focused on it. Whereas like if this is it for us, the season's done, you might need to remove yourself so you can have your time to reset and refresh. But yeah, I mean, it was tough because like Tokyo, I know particularly for Morgan,
we were all so excited to go there.
Yeah,
we were so
Morgan
excited.
And I mean, like Instagram post about like my so family's excited connection with Tokyo, but Morgan also has a huge connection with Tokyo and that was our first Olympics together, and we didn't really get to experience Tokyo because of COVID. And
yeah,
that was one thing we were really excited about. But, you know, hopefully there'll be a race, maybe a Diamond League or something in the future that potentially could be there. But it's an amazing city, an amazing country, and we were not surprised that it went off.
That it was so successful.
Yeah.
Totally. So, yeah, that's a little, I guess, deep dive on the situation now. And I think it's good. Like, now that like everyone's season is done, you can really take that deep breath, and it feels good to have things move a bit slower for a little bit. And so, as you mentioned, you're already back doing like pretty solid training, which is very impressive to be back at it already. Looking ahead, do you have anything kind of on your mind of what you're looking forward to, or do you still need to take a bit more time to figure that type of stuff out?
I'll definitely take some time, but I do feel like for me, I want to, I got the Hawaii Mile in December, so I'll be running that. I want to run.
Is that, when is that? Like start of December?
December 5th.
Okay.
Are
you thinking about doing World Cross again, the relay?
Yeah, I think that'd be a trial. The trial would be in Australia,
yeah,
which would be very, very difficult to do. However, I do need to do my visa around that time.
So
that's a discussion I have to have with Dathan. And that discussion will come when we're back in season. But I'm going to like look through the races and through the calendar and pick out the certain races I want to do. And I'll have like, obviously, if I can't get into this race, I'll do this race kind of thing. But I would like to keep pushing with the 1500. My potential there, I do not feel like has been tapped, and I will probably start trying to run a 5k here and there. But overall, cross country sounds really good. It sounds different, and I think a different stimulus in a competitive way is really good. Like the Hawaii Mile, I think, is a different stimulus.
Yeah, the track is so like it, the thing is, it's like every time you step on the track, you have the clock staring you right in the face. Cross country or like something that's different, like the Hawaii Mile,
it's very like purely competitive.
Yeah, you don't have that same pressure, which is nice.
So
nice to race without that.
Those are things I'm looking at for sure. I think going into this year, it's like technically off year because there's no technical world championships.
Not for this guy. This guy's got a title to defend.
But there is a Commonwealth Games. And I still have to make the team, which is going to always be difficult. Like Australia right now has gotten kind of crazy. The thing with Australia, like the trial window is very small. And
I don't even know how it looks for Com Games.
The window's small. It's again in April. I'm not trying to be a dick to AA or anything like that, but like April is such a bad time for a national championships for the rest of the world. But that's the only way they can do it. So it's just about like, again, for me, like it's going to be the next few months. It's just about training. Like I'm going to be training for the track because that's what we're going to have to train for. So it's going to have to train for the track and then come down and train for the track again, which is going to be fine. It's just going to be very, very much back into it. And that's what every Aussie has to do.
Yeah, that's the reality Australia, but being an Australian athlete.
It looks like the window is smaller. It's not going to be like, okay, you're going
to
get selected.
Well, the Com Games is way earlier compared to this World Champs.
Yeah, it's in
I'm going to say probably August.
August.
Maybe July, August.
But I think they'll probably select the team by August. Hopefully before the championships. But yeah, so that will be a thing to focus on. And
what about the gala? I know that we mentioned that last week as well. That's obviously something important this time of year.
It has been important.
I know you've tried to make some attempts so far, and
not great.
It's been a struggle.
Not great. Well, like
because everyone's traveling, everyone on the team is in
and they
different
have
places.
Every right to, and I don't want them to feel bad. But the funny thing was, like I am going to see Tame Impala in New York on Halloween. So that for me is like my big thing, which I'm very excited about. My brother's also here. So there's going to be a lot of things we're going to do together as well. But when it comes to October, everyone's traveling and doing stuff. And I've tried to organize. I've been talking to Yared, and Yared's been very, very gracious, but also very excited to host the gala.
He loves the gala.
He is now probably on the coffee club committee because it's a coffee club event.
He's part of the party planning committee.
Yes, the party planning committee. when it comes to organizing this thing, it is a thorn in the side. It's
well, the thing is, it's like you can either have it before everyone is back meeting for training, which feels nice because like mentally you're not like officially back for training, so there is kind of that extra level of relaxation, kind of like chillness. But then just with how things have worked out this year, everyone already has all these different travel plans leading all the way up to until training starts again.
Yeah. So it there's a lot going on.
So I think it's going to have to be a bit later.
That's what I want to do. October 18th is what I put out there because Yared felt that that was a good time. At the other weekends, people were traveling, doing things. But I sent that out to the group chat yesterday, immediately 6 to 7 messages. Hey, don't change it because I'm not going, but I'm not going to be here. I get back at this date. And it's all different dates. And one of the coffee club members, George Beamish, won't be back till the 28th, which is not good for me because I will not be here.
So I think it's going to have to be November. Like a week after.
It's going
to
be in November.
You go to New York or maybe 2 weeks.
It's gonna have to be in November because George won't be back till the 28th of October.
Can you have a Halloween party after Halloween? No, you can't.
No, but I have ideas. So
Thanksgiving party.
I have ideas. So like I have ideas for, because like the gala also is not just the team. We have other members that come and other people of the community. And I have come up with games. I did the last gala and it was quite successful. I have
what
a
games
new game.
Did you come up with?
Well, I didn't come up with it, but Beer Kart was added, which I thought was very successful. We had a quiz, which was great. And then we did another one, which I can't remember. Do you remember?
It was all team-based. It was very fun.
We'll have teams and stuff, but my other game that I have going is going to be, it's a shot game. It's based on questions. And the questions, I think, are going to be fun because it's based on a game specifically for that person, and it's going to be someone on the team and someone not on the team. And then they have to answer questions about this person. If they get it right, that person.
Oh, it's like a head-to-head type scenario.
So it's, so what I have for it is, for example, I'm just going to use George as an example. So Jordy will be one person and say my brother Chris is the other person at the gala, right? And then Jordy's game is to answer questions that are true or false about Chris.
Oh.
And then answer questions for Chris. It has to be true or false about George. And they're questions that are going to be quite difficult. For example, for George, it might be like a running thing, which Chris O would be like, just give me the shot. But you get points. And then if you get 3 points, the other person has to take a shot. And if you get no points by the end of the thing, you have to take a shot.
I like the idea.
But there's
lots
games
of time to work on the specifics.
Tom Wang is going to work on specifics, but we have games and stuff going on. We're excited about it. I mean, I just recently moved into my house, so I want to do a housewarming. So that might turn to a little bit of a party. But it won't be the gala party. It would be a bit different because I'll have
lots of parties.
Other members of my external life that will come in.
But that aren't invited to the gala.
Well, they are invited to the gala, but I'm scared that they'll scare off everybody else. They're very much professional partiers. Okay. So, but a lot of Meg's friends are very fun and I'd love to see them interact with my running friends.
Always a good time.
But yeah, they're going to be invited to the gala if they'd like to go. But my idea would be, Morgs, that we have for the team only, a coffee club bus with...
Can I just comment that Chris has been sleeping the entire episode? He just woke up.
Yeah, Chris just woke up.
He's been listening.
He's been listening, yeah.
Yeah,
he's a quiet listener. Thanks, Chris. Like we have a coffee club limousine thing, right?
We already have that. Gus bought one. He didn't tell you?
Oh, yeah. He hasn't told me shit, bro.
You haven't seen that, Chris? Yeah, he's been driving in it.
Well, Chris is the driver. He's got the hat and everything.
Perfect.
Yeah, but we want to do the coffee club demo. It takes the team to a bar and then stays there and then drops them back to the house.
You're an ideas man.
I don't know. I got ideas for Coffee Club Gala. I want it to be fun. I mean, I think last year was awesome.
It was a pre-game
and it was very good. It was at my apartment, which was tiny.
But it worked.
Yeah.
It was a lot much smaller party, but it was much more intimate.
I agree. And I think everyone really
And it was a bit like, I guess when it's like just more like your team and like their significant others, close ones, like it takes the pressure off quite a bit. And then you can go and do whatever you want after. So that was nice. Like, I imagine this year will be similar.
Are you going to drink this year?
Why wouldn't I?
I'm just wondering because I know you don't drink much.
I don't drink much, but for the gala is a special night.
Yeah, I do enjoy I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but I do enjoy seeing Morgan and George have a few drinks because I feel like they become more like me when I'm sober.
Explain that.
You just like I'm known for being a bit, you know,
a bit silly.
I drink the silly juice and I get a little silly. When particularly with George and you, when you guys have a few drinks, you guys get silly and it's fun.
I think most people do.
Yeah.
I think that's a side effect of
either that or they get very quiet and they lean on the side of the door and they're just floating back and forth. But
I think that's when you take something else. I don't know.
But no, I'm looking forward to it. We got a bigger group this year. We got more people, right?
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So that'll be fun. Gus is going to be funding it, so that'll be great.
Hopefully he spares us.
Honestly,
though,
George Beamer should be funding it. I think George has made a bit of money. I don't know where from investments or something, but I think he's come up with some money.
He's done well.
He's done decently well.
So. But that was quite extensive gala talk because we still have quite a lot of episodes leading into the gala. So everyone, that's kind of our baseline.
Actually, could I, sorry, Morgs, because I don't want to interrupt. Comment, like, subscribe, follow, but comment. Party games, ideas that you think would be fun for the OEC, for the team, or like anything that you think would be a good addition to the gala that you would like to see. I'm sure we will have some sort of little camera going around filming how the night goes.
Yeah.
If you're unable to attend, but yeah, that's kind of I want to see what people think.
Amazing.
If they have any good ideas, we could steal them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a nice note to end this episode. It's been a bit of a shorter one as we expected going into it, but I think it's been really, really nice to catch up. You feeling good?
Yeah. Well, I really hadn't talked about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So that was nice to talk about it in front of all you guys. And yeah, Morgan and I are just... We're gonna be blossoming, like we're late bloomers.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I think it was on the pod sometime when I said the inverse bell curve. Actual bell curve.
You said that last.
We're on the up right now.
We're on the Jordy's just a straight line.
He's yeah. You can't get much better than world champ, can you?
Twice.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think it's a nice place to end this episode. It's been wonderful being back with you guys. It's been episode 202 of the Coffee Cup Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week. See you.